Babalu, 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 yeah, Babalu.
Hi, this is Steve Rodriguez with ProgressivePulse.com, and I'm very excited today to be talking to singer-songwriter Johnny Blue with his brand new album, Taboo. Johnny, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Very good. You're out in the West Coast, right, in Los Angeles?
I am. I'm in lovely Toluca Lake right now, and it is actually very lovely the last several days. It's sunny and brisk. I like it.
Nice. Well, I want to talk about your new album, Taboo, which I just downloaded recently, and it's great, by the way. I love all the Latin sound that you bring to it.
Yeah. It took 2 years to finally get that packaged and on the market. So I wouldn't say it's bittersweet, but it's always a tough road getting that together and, you know, working out all the music and everything, but it was definitely worth it because, yeah, I'm very happy with how it all turned out. So.
Cool. Well, let's talk about your background real quick, and then we'll get back to the album. You kind of combine everything from, like, swing to jazz, pop. You write. You also kind of reinterpret old standards. Where did all that style and inspiration come from to go that route?
I had really... Growing up, like, I didn't necessarily grow up with Sinatra or Dean Martin and stuff. It really was like the music of, like, Harry Connick Jr. and Brian Setzer that I listened to when I was younger. And, you know, certain types of music just catch on to your ear, and that music really caught because I think I like lyrics. I like good lyrics that say something. They don't have to be complex, but they just need to say something that makes you, you know, more typically happy is where I like to go. And that type of music really grabbed me. You know, Harry Connick Jr.'s from, what was it, When Harry Met Sally, or Brian Setzer's, like, Stray Cats, that kind of rockabilly sound. And that, it was just positive music, just fun, and that caught on. I just kind of carried that through and learned a lot of Harry Connick songs, and then I started getting into Sinatra and Dean Martin and Elvis and stuff like that. And music was not going to be my career, though. That was really a hobby for mine all the way through college or until the end of college. But yeah, that's how I started getting involved in that type of music. That's where that interest came about, and I started writing those type of songs really when I was in high school, but. Of course, I didn't do anything with them for a while after.
Cool. Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, do you think that that's what kind of also set yourself apart, is that not only do you reinterpret classics, but you kind of, you write, which not all of those artists listed do, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think really if this type of music, I think there's a lot of nostalgia right now for that type of music from a generation that's not our generation, but that type of music out there, and it's just good music. So you have artists like Rod Stewart and you know, Carly Simon and Michael Bublé and Jamie Cullum and stuff, and not to say they don't write. I mean, they're all, as far as I know, writers also. But I think that in order to really keep this genre relevant, this type of music relevant, I think lyrically and musically, it's a good idea to come up with stuff that's just in that genre, but that's just new.
Cool.
You know, that's kind of what my aim is, has been from the start with my music, is when I wrote songs like Just That Kind of the Mood or How Can I, or, you know, Sweet Love in the Afternoon.
Sweet Love in the Afternoon, a little kissing and some hugging too. A sweet loving in the afternoon is what I want to do with you. I want to kiss you and I hold you tight and keep it going all through the night. And in the morning it feels so nice, but save it for later, I'll make it worth your while. Cause a sweet loving in the afternoon, a little kissing
and in a groove.
I've been up, I've been down, I had my whole world turned upside down. I was lost, now I'm found. There's a girl, she turned my life around.
My idea was using lyrics that I can connect with, you know, and then putting them into songs that still felt like they weren't a diversion or, you know, from the original standards, the original Sinatra era as a standard. So
cool.
That's really what I'm going with it.
Yeah, it's kind of refreshing to see that music like this is, you know, people are able to hear it now from young to old, and everybody seems to be like embracing it. So
yeah,
it's kind of a refreshing time period.
I think so. I think that, and I've said this a lot before because it's something that I try and discover as to why I think this music is rising up again. Is it really? It's just I kind of put it as non-confrontational music. It's not political. It's not religious. It's not you know, conservative or liberal. It's just good music. It puts you in a nice mood. You don't have to, you don't leave angry or frustrated or like riled up after listening to this type of music. It's just, and I think people need that right now. Just in this like political climate, in this you know, in the social climate that we have right now, with just so much back and forth and really frustration. I think that it's one of the great appeals of this type of music is you don't have to think about anything except for just letting your mind relax and enjoying music. So that's why I think there's a rise of this type of music right now.
Cool. Well, let's talk real quick also about your fan base in China and how I know you've have kind of a fan base there, and you also speak Mandarin, I understand.
Yeah, Mandarin.
How did
read and write.
Did you go study there? How did this fan base start?
Yeah, I like I had said, I didn't intend on having music as my career. I just wasn't brought up with the idea that was a viable career choice. And I mean, I guess you could say from college, I was really kind of got more into academic, and I went to UCLA, and I ended up started with history, and I ended up studying in China for almost 2 years, studying Mandarin Chinese, and then I started studying, you know, politics and history in China in Chinese. So I ended up getting sort of a double major when I came back, and I was planning on going to law school. Just long story short, I was in Monterey Park, in outside of Los Angeles, and there was a singing competition, a Chinese singing competition for the Lantern Festival. And I entered it. I just figured, oh, why not? So I signed the form, and the shop owner looked at me like, oh, because I wrote it all in Chinese. The whole form was in Chinese, and he was kind of surprised. I ended up winning that competition.
Wow.
And yeah, it was just random. I was the only, I mean, literally other than like the few friends that I brought with, I was the only non-Chinese person like there, you know.
Blonde hair, blue eyes.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, fish out of water, but I enjoyed it because I always loved singing. And people, I sang this song called Xin Tai Ran, which is a song by Richie Ren, and who's a big pop star in China. And people were just kind of, you know, surprised. And I didn't, you know, I represented. I didn't just come out singing a song. And that just kind of took me on the path of saying, you know what, I'm dropping everything. And I ended up saying, I'm going to be a pop star in China. That is my goal. So it was just a random thing. And I had started writing songs in Chinese as part of when I studied in China. And then I, you know, really started polishing stuff up and ended up getting signed onto a label in Hong Kong. And so I was there for several years. And, yeah, they made me pretty famous out there. And I loved it. It was great. It's hard to walk away from something like that. But I kind of came to the idea of if I want a long-term career in music, which I really decided that I wanted to, I needed to come back to the States and go for the music that I felt was going to give me longevity, which was what I grew up doing. Like I said, the Harry Connick type of music. So, yeah.
Well, great. And your new album, you've moved from Chinese to Spanish.
yeah.
Your new album, we should mention, Johnny Blue Taboo, Swingin' Songs.
Taboo.
Yeah, Taboo, Swingin' Songs from South of the Border. I love that whole
title. Yeah.
Great. Yeah, I heard. Actually, you sing Bésame Mucho and
Bésame Mucho.
One of my parents' favorite songs, Sabor a Mí.
Sabor a Mí.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Both excellent versions of those songs.
Thanks, man.
How did this album come about? This is your third album, to kind of go the Latin route.
So. Well, for one, it was basically I, you know, I like languages and I like to discover certain things, and I had been kind of branching out and thinking, all right, maybe I should write some stuff in Spanish because I do understand Spanish, and I had also looked into doing stuff in French and Italian and. Not because I necessarily speak those languages, but because, you know, when you just start to, it's a way to study those languages, is to write or listen to music in languages. And so I felt it would be a cool project. And somewhat around the same time, which was over 2 years ago, an executive from this publishing company called Peer Music, I guess found me on MySpace randomly. And he came to one of my shows, a small show I did at Vitello's in Studio City, in Los Angeles, and they wanted to hire me to do this project. They have a huge catalog of Latin standards, of Latin pop standards and stuff like that, and so they brought me into their offices, which are at Raleigh Studios, where Paramount is in Los Angeles, and they actually have offices all over the world as Peer Music, and we just went through their library, and I picked out songs that I liked, that I thought were cool, and after a few weeks of really picking songs, and I listened to a whole bunch of CDs of just different old songs. I mean, Babalu, the recording I heard of Babalu was from like 1920s or something like that.
Wow, yeah, I was going to say, wasn't that, didn't Ricky Ricardo sing it at one point?
Yeah, well, he really made it. I mean, the song had been around for a long time. Bésame Mucho has been around since, I think, in 1940-something.
Wow.
I think her name was Consuelo Velázquez. Mm-hmm. She was a 16-year-old girl, wrote it. I think it was in the 40s.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, you know, so the song, it was just so cool. And again, I like history, so it just was such a cool project to do. And we ended up narrowing it down to those songs. And I recorded them, and I studied, you know, I wanted to make sure that I wasn't just going to sing Bésame Mucho and just sing Sabor a Mí. So, you know, I studied the lyrics and really made sure that I understood what I was saying, you know, what I was singing.
Tanto tiempo disfrutamos de este amor. Nuestras almas se acercaron tanto así que yo guardo tu sabor, pero tú llevas también sabor a mí. Y si negaras mi presencia en tu vivir, bastaría con abrazarte y conversar. Tanta vida yo te di, que por fuerza tienes ya sabor a mí.
Hopefully, at some point, we might record all the rest of the songs in their original Spanish version, so we'll see.
Great. What was it like working, I know it was arranged and conducted by Bob Malone.
Yeah.
How was that, working with him?
Well, I've worked with him on pretty much all my music. He's played piano on all my songs. I've been performing with him playing piano and basically being the MD on almost all of my shows. He's just a great arranger. He's really easy to work with because he understands music and music theory so well. So it was great. It was great working with him. I mean, he really came up with some good, some arrangements that fit me vocally. And it really worked out. Bob and I are working on a bunch of new songs, original songs right now. Two of which we're going to perform at my show at Vibrato.
Yeah, let's talk about your show. Vibrato is in L.A., but actually the Bel Air area, right?
It's a great show. Oh, yeah. Vibrato is, Herb Alpert is one of the main owners of it, and from Tijuana Brass fame. And yeah, I've played at Vibrato several times, so we're doing it again for my one and only holiday show. It's December 15th, and Bob Malone is going to be playing piano with me, and we have two songs. One is this holiday song, which I called A Holiday for Two. Surprisingly, there is no song in the ASCAP database called A Holiday for Two. So that
nice.
Was kind of cool.
Nice.
Yeah, and I didn't find that out until after I wrote the song, and then I went, we registered the songs, and I found, like, oh, that's pretty cool. So so we got that, and then there's a song that I had started writing when my grandmother was in the hospital, and she subsequently passed away, and the song is called I've Got You. It's more of a pop song, and I brought it to Bob, and he helped me really polish it up and turn it into a very well-structured song. So you'll hear a pop song, too, that I'm going to sing at that show.
Awesome. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. One more quick bit of trivia that our audience might not know is that your father invented the game Life, correct?
Game of Life, yes. That is his... we were just in Chicago for sort of the start, we call it the Ruben Klamer Game of Life tour, because the 50th anniversary of the Game of Life is next year, which they're going to do a whole big thing at the Toy Fair in New York in February.
Nice.
Next year. So yeah, we went to Chicago, and he got like Lifetime Achievement Award by the Toy and Game, it's like Toy and Game Inventors Association or something like that. And he's a pretty famous dude himself. He did the Game of Life in 1959, and it was put out in 1960. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, he's a fun dude. He's still going strong, so it's nice. Yeah.
Cool. Well, Johnny Blue, continued success for you. People can find out more information if going to johnnyblue.com, correct?
Yes, and I actually always tell people it's JONNYBLU, so no H in the Johnny, no E in the Blue.
JONNYBLU.
Until I become, more famous, you still have to make sure, because I've noticed that people naturally spell Johnny with an H and Blue with an E. So.
Exactly, and people can get your...
JohnnyBlue.com.
Sorry, people can get your iPhone application as well, right?
Oh, yeah, I've got an iPhone app.
That's pretty cool.
I know, right? If you go to the app store, you just type in Johnny Blue, and the app comes up, and it's cool. I mean, it's like 99 cents, and it literally has like a whole bunch of my music, which you can basically listen to for free. It's got photos, any updates on my stuff, my blog, and little games. There's like these little puzzle games.
Very cool.
That was kind of cool. It was it's a cool little thing too. It's like a nice promotional thing, I guess, and it's music, it's free music. So.
Excellent. Well, the new album's called Taboo. It is out now.
Taboo.
You can get it pretty much everywhere, correct? Amazon.
Yeah, pretty much anywhere online. Yeah, Amazon, CD Baby, all the digital sites have Taboo, as well as my other two albums, In the Groove and In Just That Kind of a Mood. So yeah, they're all out.
And the show.
I recommend getting the CD though, because you can't get, I don't think you can get all the, it's a 23-track CD, the actual CD.
You're right, because I saw it on iTunes, and it's not the instrumental, so.
Yeah, you only get half, and I'll tell you, like I've been telling people, is the instrumentals on this are so great, and not only that, if you pop in, you pop in a CD, and it's just, you have so much music that, you don't have to switch it, and the instrumentals on this CD are awesome, so highly recommend getting the actual physical CD, because it's just that added bonus and all that. Plus, it's a really nicely packaged CD. So,
we'll check Johnny Blue out at Vibrato Jazz Club in Bel Air in the Los Angeles area, December 15th. And Johnny, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to see you, and congrats on all the success and much more to you.
Thanks, Steve. You too, man.
I linger, intent upon staying, ignoring every word my heart kept saying. A taboo, taboo, remember she is not for you. A taboo, taboo, there's someone that you promised to. Well, I knew.